Hi, my name is Mira Patasin. I'm an author and I'm an activist, and GoFundMe is my go-to platform for fundraising. The first GoFundMe I did was to raise money for a chapbook or a collection of poetry and essays and short stories. So we started a GoFundMe and our goal was $7,000. What I've learned is so special about GoFundMe is that it's a whole collection of people offering anything from like $4 to $400. And each time you get a ping that someone donated, even if it is just $4, it's so exciting. So if you have a goal and you get there, you can keep making it bigger and bigger and bigger. We did go past our goal. It was amazing.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Okay, when you hear the word ventriloquist, what springs to mind? Probably maybe a classic stage act, right? Wooden dummy, slightly stiff.
Yeah, something kind of old-fashioned, maybe a bit dusty even.
Exactly. But what if I told you there's someone out there who completely flips that on its head? Someone using puppets, yeah, but blending it with really sharp wit, deep empathy, and even like philosophical ideas.
Ah, you must be talking about Nina Conti.
You got it. Today, we're diving deep into Nina Conti. She's a British actress, comedian, and ventriloquist who's just... well, she's completely reinvented the whole thing.
She really has. It's quite something.
So our mission today is to explore her journey. It's fascinating. From a pretty surprising academic start to these iconic characters she's created and her work on stage and screen, we want to unpack how she uses humor and her very unique take on ventriloquism to get at deeper human truths.
Yeah. Looking at identity, performance, what having a voice even means. We've pulled together insights from a detailed profile on her to give you the full picture.
So get ready for some real aha moments, because we're going to see how one artist can take what some call a dead art and make it feel incredibly alive and relevant today.
Absolutely. It's quite a story.
All right, let's unpack this. Before she was getting huge laughs with, you know, a monkey on her hand, where did Nina Conti actually come from?
Well, it probably won't shock you to hear there's a strong artistic background there. Her parents are Tom Conti and Carl Wilson, both well-known actors.
Right, so performance is definitely in the blood, you could say.
Seems like it. But here's where it gets really interesting, maybe unexpected.
Okay.
She didn't just jump into acting. She actually graduated from the University of East Anglia in 1995.
Uh-huh.
With a first-class honors degree in philosophy.
Philosophy. Wow. Okay, that's not the typical path for a comedian ventriloquist.
Not at all.
So... how do you think that background, that philosophical training, how does it actually, like, feed into her comedy? Does it shape the jokes, the characters?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's fundamental. It's not just a fun fact. That philosophy degree, it feels like the framework for so much of the depth in her work.
How so?
Well, she's constantly playing with ideas of identity, consciousness, reality. Classic philosophical stuff, right?
Yeah.
Her comedy often turns on... questioning what's real, who's speaking, who's in control.
Right, like with Monkey always pointing out he's a puppet.
Exactly, that meta commentary. She's not just making you laugh, she's making you think about perception, about the self, the masks we wear.
Mm.
It feels very much like a live philosophical experiment sometimes.
That's a brilliant way to put it, a live philosophical experiment. And talking about key influences, there's another huge figure, Ken Campbell, the experimental theater director.
Ken Campbell, absolutely crucial.
What was it about him? Why was his mentorship so important, especially coming from that experimental background?
Well, Campbell was all about pushing boundaries, wasn't he?
Mm.
He saw something unique in Nina, a way to challenge performance conventions. He didn't just teach her ventriloquism techniques. He inspired her to see it as a tool for, you know, deeper artistic expression.
Did he create work specifically for her?
He did. He devised a ventriloquist play called Let Me Out, just for her, which she performed early on. But the really pivotal thing, maybe the most profound, was after he passed away, he left her his entire collection of ventriloquist dummies.
Wow. His whole collection.
Yeah. Think about that. It wasn't just a gift. It was a legacy. An inheritance of voices, characters. Mm-hmm. It directly connects to her later work, especially the documentary.
Her master's voice, right.
It positioned her not just as a performer, but sort of a custodian of these stories, this history.
That's incredibly powerful. What a foundation. So philosophy and this intense experimental mentorship, it sets the stage for a career that was clearly not going to be straightforward.
Not at all. She didn't just appear with a monkey fully formed.
No, definitely not. Before she really leaned into ventriloquism, she built a solid acting career first, starting around 96, right?
Mm-hmm. She was in Ken Campbell's The Warp, did time with the Royal Shakespeare Company in 2000-2001.
The RSC. Okay, serious acting chops there.
Absolutely. And she did voice work, too, like for that animated series Bromwell High. So she had this grounding in classical theater, experimental stuff, voice acting, quite the toolkit.
Yeah, you can see how all that would feed into bringing characters to life, whether they're human or otherwise.
Exactly. And then came the stand-up breakthrough.
Right, the BBC New Comedy Awards in 2002. That must have been huge.
Massive launchpad. Pretty soon she was headlining places like the Comedy Store in London.
And her solo shows.
Her first big one was Complete and Utter Conti at the Edinburgh Fringe in 2007. Got rave reviews, then went on to win the Barry Award in Melbourne in 2008.
The Barry Award, wow, that's prestigious.
Huge deal in the comedy world. So that really cemented her as this major comedic talent, ready to do something different.
And that difference started showing up on screen, too. Her work with Christopher Guest, for example.
Oh, yeah, those were great. For your consideration, in 2006, she and Monkey were like a weather team.
Yeah. And then Family Tree, the HBO show in 2013, she played Bea Chadwick, and Monkey was right there with her.
It was so clever how she integrated the ventriloquism into those mockumentary formats. It wasn't just a stage act plonked into a film.
No, it felt organic. It showed how flexible the art form could be in her hands. Plus, she popped up in lots of other TV stuff, Black Books, Holby City.
Pointless celebrities.
Yeah.
She got around.
She did, but then there's the film she made herself in 2012, Her Master's Voice.
Ah, yes. That film is something else entirely.
It really is. It's not just a comedy special, is it? It's deeper. She takes those puppets she inherited from Ken Campbell.
The Van Haven Museum, the Puppet Graveyard in Kentucky, yeah.
And it got incredible acclaim. Won awards, BAFTA nominated, got a Grierson Award. It felt like it really shifted perceptions about her and about ventriloquism itself.
Absolutely. Mm. Because Her Master's Voice isn't just about ventriloquism, is it? It's this really poignant look at grief, at legacy, at the weirdly intense bond between a performer and their creations.
Right. Like, do these puppets have a life, a soul?
That's the question that floats, isn't it? Yeah. What happens to that essence, that voice projected onto them when the original voice is gone? It's incredibly meta, but also deeply personal. It's using the art form to ask these big questions about memory, identity, the echoes people leave behind.
But meditation on existence, like you said before, wow. And she's not stopping. She's got a feature film, Sunlight, that wrapped filming recently.
Yep, April 2023. And she's going to be in Spinal Tap 2, apparently, in 2025.
Spinal Tap 2. Okay, that's amazing. She continues to surprise.
Always.
So we've got this rich background, philosophy, acting, Campbell, the documentary. But the real magic maybe happens through her characters. These aren't just props.
Not at all. They feel like extensions of her thinking almost.
Yeah.
Ways to explore being human, having a voice, projecting who we are.
Let's talk about them. Starting with the most famous one, probably. Monkey.
Ah, Monkey. Where to begin?
He's not exactly your sweet, cuddly sidekick, is he?
Uh-huh. No. He's cynical, often rude, swears quite a bit.
Hells Conti off constantly.
Exactly. But the genius part is how he's always deconstructing the act itself. He'll point out he doesn't have a mic or that his ideas are just Nina's. He calls it a dead art.
Which is hilarious, coming from the puppet.
Right. It's this brilliant philosophical move. By showing you the strings, acknowledging the trick, she makes you think about performance, about belief, even about our own inner monologues. Mm-hmm. It paradoxically makes it feel more real, more alive.
That's so true. And he was in the Christopher Guest films, too, and Let's Dance for comic relief.
Yep. He's her main partner in crime, you could say.
Okay, then there's Granny. Very different energy.
Totally different. She's this elderly Scottish woman always chiding Nina about something small.
And she has that weird, like, telepathy thing, guessing numbers.
Yeah, that's part of her shtick. And she talks about her dead husband, Frank. Calls people dear and hen.
And the original Granny puppet was one of Ken Campbell's.
It was. Another piece of that legacy. The original is in the Vent Haven Museum now. But Nina uses a replica. Granny brings this whole other dimension, age, memory, maybe a bit of old world wisdom or just confusion.
You've probably seen her on things like QI or Russell Howard's Good News.
Mm-hmm. She pops up quite a bit.
Okay, but maybe the most innovative character isn't a puppet at all. It's the face mask.
Ah, the masks. Yes.
Yeah.
Utterly brilliant.
Explain it for anyone who hasn't seen it. It's a mask, right?
Yeah, basically a lower face mask that she puts on an audience member, and then she controls the mouth, speaks for them.
The effect is just, it's hilarious, but also kind of profound, isn't it? She makes them say things completely at odds with their body language.
Exactly. Like their eyes are saying, oh my God, get me out of here. But their masked mouth is saying, I absolutely love dancing. It creates this incredible dissonance.
That tension between the spoken words and the person's real reaction.
It's comedy gold, but it's also doing something more, isn't it?
Definitely. She's expanded it now too, right? Using two audience members at once sometimes.
Yeah, on Live at the Apollo, she did that, and on Russell Howard's show. It just doubles the chaos and the insight. Mm. How does that specific technique, putting words in somebody else's mouth, literally strike you? What questions does it raise?
Well, it immediately makes you think about consent.
Right. Yeah.
And identity. Who are you when someone else is speaking for you?
Exactly. The person becomes a puppet in a very real sense. But you still see them reacting underneath. Their real self is visible in their eyes, their posture. It highlights that gap between our internal state and how we present ourselves.
Yeah, it's like a live demonstration of the social masks we all wear.
And it makes the audience member a co-creator of the comedy, but also the subject of this slightly uncomfortable examination. It blurs all those lines, performer, audience, self, other. It's really clever stuff.
Incredibly clever. Takes such a simple idea and makes it so rich. And, you know, beyond the stage, there are glimpses of her life that add more layers. We know about the Ken Campbell connection, obviously.
Mm-hmm. And she has two sons. Mm-hmm. One, Arthur Conti, is an actor now, too. They're from her marriage to Andrew Stanley, Satan Stanley, another comedian. They're separated now.
Right. And there was that BBC Four show. Clowning around back in 2015.
Oh, yeah, where she trained to be a giggle doctor.
A therapeutic clown for kids in hospitals. That really shows another side, doesn't it? The compassion behind the comedy.
Absolutely. Using humor for healing, for connection, not just entertainment. It fits perfectly with the empathy you sense in a lot of her work. Even the edgier stuff.
It really does.
And that brings us back, I think, to the core themes running through everything she does. It really does go beyond just being funny.
Yeah, she consistently uses ventriloquism, this often dismissed art form, to explore these big, universal ideas.
Identity, grief, connection, what performance even is. Mm. Whether it's the mask making us question who's talking, or her master's voice making us think about legacy, or the clowning showing direct empathy.
It all feels connected. It makes you think about your own inner voice, the stories you tell yourself, the masks you wear.
Exactly. She holds up a mirror, but a very funny, slightly warped one.
What an incredible artist. Nina Conti really does have this unique talent for taking something traditional and making it feel utterly contemporary, intellectually stimulating, and just properly laugh out loud funny.
She's way more than just a ventriloquist. Actress, comedian, philosopher, storyteller.
Yeah.
She wears a lot of hats. Yeah. Or operates a lot of puppets.
Uh-huh, yeah. We absolutely recommend you seek out her work. If you haven't seen her master's voice, seriously, track it down. Experiencing her genius firsthand is, well, that's something special.
Definitely. You won't look at a puppet the same way again.
So as we wrap up, here's a final thought to 2-1. In our world, so much interaction is through screens, digital avatars, curated profiles. What does Nina Conti's work, literally giving voice to puppets, to masks, to audience members, tell us about our own identities, about the stories we project onto the world and onto ourselves?
Yeah, and how does this supposedly dead art manage to tap into something so fundamentally alive, so human in all of us?
Yeah.
It's a really fascinating question to sit with after the laughter stops.